Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to begin by saying thank you for singing and for singing loud. One of the things, so last night we had the 1,000 Voices at the Cross event, and I was privileged to be invited to speak for that event, and one of the things they asked for me to kind of reflect on in my message was John 17, and I've been thinking this week a lot about unity, as Jesus prays in that prayer for unity, and this is just a moment of encouragement for me, as it often is. But when we can come as one together, one to another, one in Christ, and declare these powerful truths together, as we sing them over each other, as we sing these truths of Scripture and these encouragements. It really is a powerful thing that happens as we sing over one another. So thank you for being faithful in your worship and being here this morning. As we get into, we're getting close to the end, actually. Mike already, I don't have to say it as much as you did. It's good. We're getting close to the end of our summer sermon series. And as we wrap up over the next couple weeks, this week in particular, our question is another sort of challenging one in many ways. And the question revolves around traditions. And so the question itself was actually, it was a two-part question. The question was, first, what are some of the traditions that we hold, that are not necessarily biblical, but are more just traditions that we do? And then the second part of the question was, what is the importance of questioning our traditions and the things that we always do? Now, instead of standing up here and giving you a list of do's and don'ts, and instead of telling you what you guys are doing awful, which I don't want to do, I don't like doing that even when it's called for, but I don't love having to do that. But what I think, I want to focus on the second part of the question, because with this question, there's an assumption that that it's okay to question our traditions, to question the things that we do, to look at our lives and our faith practices and even our church structures and to ask questions and say, okay, do these things need to change? Do we need to do something different? Is this still benefiting and serving the purpose that God intended it for? If you've been around the church any amount of time, really, you've probably heard phrases like, we've just always done it that way. Anybody heard that phrase before? Yeah, I will say, I wrote this earlier this week, and I heard, like, even just like last night, I heard almost all of these from people in conversations, which is interesting. but many phrases. We might hear some people say things like, that's just what Christians believe. That's just what we believe. Maybe you hear people say, well, my pastor taught me that, fill in the blank. Or my parents taught me, or maybe people say, this is what our church has always believed, always done. And these things are not bad. These things aren't wrong. Like, it's not wrong for us to have these traditions and these things that have been passed down to us, because these things that get passed down to us in our faith being included in that, these things can be often quite beautiful, often quite faithful, often deeply wise and deeply biblical. I've been thinking about this especially as with my kids getting to an age where I'm having to think about what am I passing down to them in terms of their faith and what they know and believe about God and the things that they do in their life as they serve and worship God and aim to live for Him. So not all these things are bad. But sometimes the things that we inherit and the things that we do, we can start to treat things that are customary as though they're biblical. Sometimes, inevitably, we can start to treat things that are familiar as though they're essential. And sometimes we can have trouble letting some things go. And eventually this can continue to spiral, not always, but it can, to the point where we're not really following Jesus anymore, but we're following the way we've learned to follow Jesus, if that makes sense. Because there's a little bit of a difference there. Following Jesus is very different than following the way we've learned to follow Jesus. It's subtle, but there's a difference there. See, Jesus does warn us through the scriptures and in the gospels that give us accounts of Jesus talking about the dangers of traditions, the potential dangers that they have. A few chapters that kind of come to mind. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus and his disciples are walking through a grain field and they're hungry and they begin picking heads of grain and eating them. The problem, though, if you're familiar with this passage, is that it's the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees come and they start accusing them. You're breaking the Sabbath. And then something important. It's something important to the Pharisees. Their concern was to hold up the scriptures. But what they had actually done is taken God's commands around Sabbath and began to layer it with interpretation and tradition and practices that actually just sort of distorted what it was intended to be. Another example, Luke 11. Jesus is invited to a meal with some well-known Pharisees, and they have a problem with how he washes his hands. The Pharisees are shocked, and Jesus responds by saying, look, you're concerned about the outside, but look what's happening on the inside, he says. The Pharisees, he calls them out, and he says, you're meticulous about external religious practices, but you neglect the things at the heart of God, mercy, justice, love, caring for the oppressed and the marginalized. And then Matthew 23 is probably the strongest one that comes to mind and that comes out of the Gospels. Jesus, he warns strongly the religious leaders, not because they're too committed to Scripture, but because they have actually not become committed to Scripture. That was what they started with, but that their commitment to Scripture turned into actually a commitment to appearing righteous. Again, they neglected the things at the heart of God, justice, mercy, faithfulness, those who are around them. And so the question, I want to make sure we're clear, the question this morning is not, is tradition bad? Are traditions and the things that we do, are they bad? That's not the question. Because they can be bad, but they also can be very good and very beautiful and very helpful. The question we want to really press into is, have our traditions become more important to us than what God has actually called us to? To being the people, have they gotten in the way of us being the people that God has formed us and called us and invited us to be? That's the real question we have to ask. See, Jesus wasn't opposed to everything in terms of, he didn't come in onto the scene and although he had strong warnings, he didn't come on the scene just to write everything off just because. He didn't come in and just say, okay, we're going to tear this all down because I know better and this is it, and you guys are doing the wrong thing because it's old and I'm bringing the new thing. I'm bringing this new thing and this is what we're going to do now. He didn't come to do that. He wasn't a rebel for the sake of being a rebel. He was interested in tearing these things down, some things, because the traditions began to take the place of the Word of God. Now, every one of us have traditions. I'm sure you guys can think of a few off the top of your head. Even outside of sort of our religious traditions and spiritual traditions, just traditions that we have. One of my traditions is that every morning when I get up, well, I try to do this, but every morning my tradition is to have a cup of coffee. I do that every morning religiously, ironically. But this is what we do. Like we're creatures of habit, we are, and so we do these things even on a simple level like that, right? But even beyond that, we think of church traditions, family traditions. Even we have theological beliefs and things that we have traditionally believed theologically. There's cultural traditions. There's expectations and traditions around worship and what that looks like and how we do that and what matters to us in that sense. And again, some of these are good, some of them are neutral, and some of them inevitably need to be challenged and adjusted. Maybe done away with, maybe not. So how do we tell the difference in all these different areas? And now, again, I want to be careful because I don't want to stand up here and tell you guys you're doing everything wrong, because it's not the point. That would not be, that's not biblical, I don't think, for me to stand up here and say everything that you're doing is wrong and we're writing it off. That's not what Jesus said. That's not what I'm going to say. Because I don't want this to turn into a message of, well, everything old is bad and everything new is better. Or everything new is awful and everything old is better. Either way. The Bible actually tells us to hold on to things that have been faithfully handed down to us. If Paul says in Thessalonians, he says, stand firm and hold the traditions that you were taught by us. Him and the people who were on his missionary journey with him. He says, hold to the traditions that we taught you. 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, Paul commends the Corinthian church because they are maintaining the traditions that he had delivered to them. The traditions of the faith. These are things that he passed down, things that are good and excellent. And as we pass down these traditions of the faith, like there's benefit in that. Another example is 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3 in verse 14 through 17, Paul points toward the ultimate standard for evaluating what we receive. Because this was his goal. This was his call by God to go and to plant churches and to preach the gospel and to pass down the message of faith that God had given him. Paul tells Timothy in First Timothy 3, he says, the sacred writings are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. And then he says, all scripture is God-breathed or breathed out by God. Now, why does this verse matter if we're thinking about traditions? Many of you, I'm sure, are familiar with that verse, right? All scripture is God-breathed. It's one that many of us memorize at a young age. Because we need to distinguish the difference between what the church has received and the word that God has spoken. We need to distinguish the difference between what the church has received and what God has spoken to us. Because these things are not always identical. Again, sometimes they are. And I don't want to be so quick to write off everything. Because I actually love a lot of old traditions that we that are done. Sometimes we have things that we've been taught by our parents or our grandparents, and they've been valuable and helpful to our faith. Sometimes we have church traditions that we do, and these things are very beautiful. Like, our coming together to sing, that's a tradition that we have here. We come together and we sing. And that's beautiful. That's wonderful. We come together and we share and we listen to and come under the teaching of God's word. That's a tradition that we have. It's been passed down from a long time ago. Again, not all traditions are bad. We just need to assess sort of which ones are helpful to us and which ones are maybe getting in the way. We can begin to appreciate some of these things, these things that we do, but we can't get to the place where we put them in the same level, authority-wise, as the Word of God. It's important that as Christians we can confidently come and say about things, just to come and have the ability to look and have conversations with people and say, like, I believe this because the Scripture teaches it, and here's where it is. It's important that we're able to do that confidently, that we know the Word of God, and that we can say, yes, I believe this because the Scripture says that it's true, and here's where it says this. Sometimes, though, we need to be able to step back a little bit and say, yeah, I believe this, and I practice this, and we do this, and it's a wise tradition. It's not necessarily, like, it's not word for word from Scripture, but it's a principle from Scripture that helps me or helps our church to live faithfully as we serve Jesus. Because sometimes there are things that we do that are just that. They help us to faithfully live out our faith. And there are these areas and things we find in Scripture too. But we also need to be able to say when it's appropriate, we need to assess and say, I'm not sure why I believe this. Sometimes we need to be able to say, okay, maybe this isn't quite serving the purpose that God intended for it anymore. And so maybe we need to rethink this. Now again, this varies from church to church. This varies from person to person and family to family in terms of traditions, in terms of these things that we bring and carry. And so again, I don't want to bring a list of things because I don't think that's helpful. One of the things that we can go to is that we're actually called to examine what we have been taught. We got to hold on to this, that examining is not bad. In this age and day, you know, people talk a lot about deconstruction. People talk a lot about questioning, especially things of the faith, right? And there's a tendency to go and to say, okay, I'm having a hard time with this thing, this tradition, this way that which I've been brought up in my faith, or the way in which, the things in which I've been taught in church, and then the assumption is that we just write that off. Again, it's like, it's not, we don't want to go to extremes here, right? We don't want to go to the way of deconstruction in the sense of just saying everything is bad and we're going to write everything off. We also don't want to go the other way and say that, okay, everything is good and we just need to accept all the traditions and all the things and everything people do because God accepts all of it. Because that's also not good either. It's also not helpful for us either. So what does it mean as we do what the scripture calls, to test and to examine, to discern and to search? Because the scriptures do tell us to do that. 1 John 4 says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Why? Because not everything spiritual is actually from God. It's just inevitably what it is. Jesus says himself in Matthew chapter 7, beware of false prophets. Why? Because Christians are supposed to exercise discernment. Discernment in teaching, but also discernment in our own lives and traditions and things that we practice. See, trusting God and this idea of biblical faith and having faith in God, it doesn't mean turning off your mind. It doesn't mean that you just say, yes, I believe in God and now I'm going to shut my mind off and now I'm done. There's an element of Christian maturity as we pursue faith in Jesus, as we pursue to be more like him, as we pursue spiritual maturity, there's a way in which we need to be able to question things faithfully in a way that's going to be helpful for us so that we can grow. So what does this look like? I want to spend a few moments in Acts 17. Acts 17, I think, is a good passage to sort of assess this and look at this. And let's read Acts 17 together. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. And we're going to read starting in verse 10. Acts 17, verse 10. In Acts 17, Paul and Silas had just left Thessalonica. And then in verse 10, it says, as soon as it was night, the believers there sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Berean Jews were more noble in character than those in Thessalonica, for they received their message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, and as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. This, I think, sets up a model for us for how we should assess this passage. Sets up a model for how we should assess our traditions and practices and things that we do. Again, whether it's in the church, whether it's personally, whether it's within our family. So this is an interesting passage because, again, Paul begins in Thessalonica. And if we go back a few verses, actually, you find that he finds a lot of persecution and he finds a lot of pushback in Thessalonica, and he has to flee for his life. And what the men in Thessalonica come out and say, they say, we see in verse 6, he said, these men have caused trouble all over the world, and now they come here. So Paul's preaching the gospel in the synagogue, and then all of a sudden these people come out and say, well, you're disrupting things. You're messing up our traditions. You're messing up the way in which we always do things and think about things. It's like, it's not okay. You're rocking the boat too much. And they begin to get angry and try to take his life. And so then he goes to Berea, and we're contrasted with the Bereans here with a different approach to when Paul preaches scriptures. Two things happen, right? They listen with openness, and they search the scriptures. Two little things. They listen with openness, and they search the scriptures. They didn't begin by saying, we know everything. They didn't start by saying, well, this is what we've always believed. They didn't say, our tradition says something different, so we're just going to not listen to that. They were eager to hear. Because the reality is that sometimes God uses sermons. Sometimes God speaks to us through conversations with others or books, other Christian authors, or even people who are outside of our normal, maybe theological circles. God can speak to us in many different ways. And he can challenge us in all of these ways on things that we've assumed. Now, we don't have to agree with everything that we hear, but we should be, if our hearts are oriented towards God, we should be eager to listen to his voice when he speaks. Again, whether that's through his word, whether that's through an individual, whether that's even just in the silent moments that we find. We should be willing to ask and consider, is there something here that I need to learn? Instead of being defensive, instead of putting our guard up and saying, okay, hold on. We sort of slow down and we listen carefully enough to find out what is being said and to ask whether it's true. And that takes us to the second point we see from the Bereans. It says they searched the scriptures. So they were attentive to listen, and then they searched the scriptures. They didn't simply assume Paul said it, so it must be true. I mean, Paul knew the scriptures. He was a faithful teacher. But they went home and they opened the scriptures for themselves. They examined them and they tested what Paul said against the word of God. And it's finding this balance between, when we think about assessing our traditions and our practices, it's finding the balance between, well, we need to write it off and I don't believe anything anymore, versus I want to understand so I can know what is true and what God is revealing to be true. It's the difference between what we could maybe call healthy skepticism and cynicism. Right? Cynicism assumes the worst in all things, but healthy skepticism, or biblical skepticism, if we want to call it that, seeks the truth, because not everything is bad or negative. Some things just need to be changed and adjusted. So why do we assess our traditions and the things that we do, like our faith practices, why do we assess these things? Because tradition shapes us. The things that we do shape us. I was talking about my habit of drinking coffee every morning. If you think about some of the habits you have, good or bad, what happens when you don't do those things? What happens? Oftentimes it sort of messes you up, right? Well, I'll use my coffee example. When I don't have coffee in the morning, sometimes it actually, like, it throws my timing of my morning off. And, like, I'm not saying I'm addicted to coffee here, let me be clear. But my routine, right? It's the timing of it. It's the process of what I expect in the morning. I expect this, 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 and this. And when it doesn't go that way, I'm like, okay, I'm unsettled. I feel unsettled. And we can do that sometimes, right? We can feel unsettled when all of a sudden the things beneath us begin to become less firm, right? These traditions that we have, these things that we do, they shape us. These things that we assume to be true influence how we worship, how we treat other people and talk to other people, how we welcome other people and who we welcome, but also even what we teach our children, how we structure our families, all these things. And if we're not careful, we can end up holding on to things and defending things that maybe Jesus never asked us to defend, because it's just comfortable for us and we've fallen into this routine. We can defend things and hold on to stuff that Jesus never asked us to. We can spend our energy protecting preferences instead of taking opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Unfortunately, many Christians make following Jesus kind of difficult, because we do, sometimes even without knowing, we attach preferences and expectations and things to the gospel when we really shouldn't. Sometimes we can become like the Pharisees, so concerned about getting the externals right that we miss what Jesus actually cares about. It's the things at his heart. It's the things of the gospel. So reassessing our traditions, it doesn't mean we abandon everything. What it does mean, though, is that we bring everything that we've inherited underneath the authority of Scripture. This is an important practice to do. To ask, why do we believe this? Where does it come from? Is this something that's actually in the Bible? Because maybe it's there, like, maybe it's not directly there, like, you know, maybe it's a principle that comes from Scripture. We need to assess those things. We have to ask, is this helping me to become more like Jesus? That's the goal, right? Like, as we practice our faith and live out our faith in all the different ways that we do, the goal is that we are transformed to be more like Jesus. The goal is that it changes us and moves us and transforms us. The goal is that we're brought more to be like Jesus, that we're brought more to reflect the heart of God in all that we do and all that we say and all of who we are. And that includes our traditions and habits and things that we do. Most importantly, I think we have to ask, you know, if Scripture does challenge us on these things, are we willing to change? And that's probably the hardest question. It's easy to say, okay, yes, I believe the Bible's my authority. I believe it. Right? We know that this is the truth. We know that this is God's Word. I read it every day. We come and we listen to the preaching. But are we really truly willing to change when God challenges our comfort or our church culture or our assumptions or maybe things that our family has just done or believed for generations? So where does this leave us? Well, I think it leaves us with finding the balance between two dangers, two extremes. On the one hand, finding the balance between blind traditionalism, and on the other side, finding reactionary skepticism to saying everything is, this is the way we do it and we don't sway. And on the other end, saying, okay, we need to revamp everything. It's about finding that middle road. The biblical answer is very much what the example of the Bereans set for us. To listen with openness and to search the Scriptures. As Paul says in Thessalonians, to test everything, to hold fast to what is good. Because there are things that we have inherited in our faith, things that we should pass down, that we should treasure, that are valuable to hold on to. And there are truths and traditions and things that help us to remember the gospel and that help us to be reminded of how beautiful and how good and how wonderful it actually is for our lives. But also, there are things that God sometimes calls us to let go of or to adjust. Our ultimate allegiance isn't to the traditions that we have, but it's to Jesus himself. Our ultimate authority isn't in what we've always done, but it's here. It's in the Word of God. This is where we need to assess and have everything line up with. So if we discover that something we've always believed or always done or are comfortable with, if we discover that God is saying, hey, maybe we need to reassess this. Or maybe we discover that God's saying, okay, you've been doing this, but maybe you should try this instead. Let's try something different instead. That's just as valid of a difficulty sometimes, too. When we find ourselves in these moments, we need to take this opportunity to listen to the voice of God. And then to say, okay, Is this a voice that's coming from the scriptures, that's rooted in the truth of God, who God is? That's how we give everything the credit that it's due. That's how we make sure that we know that what we're hearing or what we're feeling or what we might maybe desire to do is from God, when it lines up with the word. We need to be a church. We need to be, just as followers of Jesus ourselves, we need to be humble enough to listen. And we need to be courageous enough to question, because it does take courage to ask these questions and to maybe sort of pull some things up a little bit. And we also need to be faithful enough to search the scriptures and committed enough to hold fast to what we know and find to be true on the other side. It takes all those things. So here's what I want to do with the rest of our time together as we wrap up. I want to give a few moments for us to pray. Again, I don't want to assume anything about your traditions or your things that you do or practices that you have. But I think we should give some space to ask some of these questions to God and say, God, what are you speaking to me? Are there things that I need to let go of that are getting in the way of who you've called me to be or where you're bringing me or what you want me to do? Are there things that I'm holding on to that are good and beautiful and wonderful and that I need to continue to pursue more? Are there different things, traditions, and things that I need to explore for my own spiritual growth and development? I want to take a moment now in prayer. I'll just give a few moments and we can silently come before the Lord together. And then I will close our time together here in prayer. Let's pray. Father, would you help us to be people who desire to know what is true? Father, would you reveal to us what your word teaches? Father, would you challenge our assumptions? God, would you correct us when we are wrong? And when we discover what is good and true and beautiful, Father, would you help us to hold fast to it? In all things, Father, would you continue to mold us and shape us and work in our hearts and our lives to draw us to be the people you have called us to be, that you've created us to be. Would you form and shape us ultimately, day by day, moment by moment, to be more like Jesus? For your glory, Father, for your sake, for your kingdom, for your gospel. Father, would you be with us as we go from here? And we thank you for your word and the challenge that it brings to our lives. God, would you just give us ears to hear your word? Would it penetrate our hearts as we go from here? And we thank you. We thank you for this time together. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.